Apparently, I don't have to convince you all that a baby's laughter is contagious. There's something about laughter, especially that laughter that comes from way down deep inside of us. That laughter where you just can't stop and you're trying with everything in you to catch your breath. And the back of your head starts to cramp up because your cheeks are being pulled so tightly up to your eyes. The most infectious laughter for me is the laughter of my children. I don't know what it is, but to hear my kids laugh, I mean really belly laugh, or to make my kids laugh that hard, it's a joy that I simply cannot explain. It's why I love to tickle my children, even though they try to tell me they don't like it. I know they do. But I love the sound of their uncontrollable laughter. You know what else I love? I love to watch them play together. I find so much joy. Maybe it's just because they're not fighting, but I love to watch them play this last week with the snow. My kids came home from school and they said, "Dad, can we go out and go sledding? We got a hill that's, you know, maybe 12 or 14 feet long on the outside of the house." But they went out and played for hours in the snow, laughing and seeing how far they could sled and tackling each other down the hill. It made my heart light to watch it. And I have a question for us this morning. Have we ever considered that maybe God enjoys watching us play as much as we enjoy watching our children play? Have we ever thought of God smiling and laughing as we engage in frivolous fun? Or that the infectious laughter of a baby might make God laugh just like it does us? If we enjoy the sound of our children laughing, and we love to watch our own kids laugh and play together, why would God enjoy it any less? But for many of us, God is this kind of big bearded old man who sits up on a throne in heaven. There's some baby angels floating around, right? And God is poised with a big stick, getting ready to whack some evildoer over the top of the head. There's almost certainly a dour look on God's face, as though everything is on the verge of coming apart and God must be ever watchful. There's no time for God to enjoy frivolity and laughter. God's too busy listening to prayers and healing sick people and overcoming injustice to enjoy such playful frivolity. I always imagine God saying things like, "Let it be so," or "Yes, my child," or maybe more appropriately, "No, my child." For many of us, God is a stoic. If God does experience emotion, it's probably just disappointment or anger, right? But this morning's scripture lesson raises the possibility that God would take time out from all that serious stuff to enjoy a wedding. Because John tells us a story that none of the other gospel writers tell us. A story of Jesus at a wedding feast. I mean, somebody actually said to Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, come over to our house and hang out for a little bit. We're going to have a celebration. We want you to join us. We're going to have a party. There's going to be wine and food and dancing and karaoke. It's going to be great. We'd love for you to come." Now, how many of us can imagine Jesus saying, "Ooh, I'm sorry. I got other things I got to do, really, really very important things, and I don't have time." Can't you imagine that Jesus has more pressing things to do than go to a wedding? Apparently not. Because Jesus goes to the party. Jesus engages in what looks suspiciously, very suspiciously, like fun. Okay, so Jesus goes to the party. Maybe he just didn't feel like he could say no. Maybe he felt he was compelled by social convention. Because I don't know about you, but I kind of imagine Jesus standing over in the corner with his disciples, serious look on his face, talking about the merits of an eschatological Zion or some other such thing, with an expression of concern on his face, as though all of this fun stuff going on over here is just a little bit beneath him. I mean, look at the picture behind me. Does it look like Jesus is having fun? No. Jesus is too serious to have fun. He's too busy imploring the DJ to keep the music down. Because he's trying to have a serious conversation over here in the corner. Why is that where our minds go? Why is it that every movie about Jesus shows him on the verge of tears through the whole thing? Even at a wedding reception. So I want to ask for a second, I want to ask this morning, what happens if we flip the script? If we imagine that Jesus actually enjoyed the party. Maybe Jesus was dancing. We're not Baptists, we can say that, right? That's okay? Good. Maybe Jesus was teasing Peter and James and John for smelling like fish. Maybe Jesus has a circle of people around him because he's telling jokes. Well, why did Moses cross the Red Sea? To get to the other side. Right? The best part about that is that anybody listening to the sermon is going to think you all laughed at my joke. Is it possible that Jesus is actually enjoying this party maybe even more than you just enjoyed my joke? But this party, friends, this party is about to come to a crashing halt. The wine is gone. The 7-Eleven is closed. And this is a huge faux pas. And it will end this wedding reception like the ex-girlfriend just walked in. But at the request of his mother, Jesus makes sure the party can continue. Jesus makes sure that the party doesn't have to stop. And not just for a little bit. According to this passage, Jesus made about 150 gallons of wine. That's over 750 bottles. I did the math. This party is not going anywhere. I'm sorry if you have to work tomorrow. Call the neighbors and just invite them over. Now, I have met Christians. I have met good, honest people who cannot believe that Jesus actually made wine, and certainly not that Jesus made that much of it. It seems impossible for them to believe or accept that Jesus would go to a wedding and help people celebrate in such a way. That Jesus might engage in such revelry, such unabashedly earthy behavior. And I have to admit I understand a little bit where they're coming from. Because I tend to envision Jesus as a little bit more focused on weighty matters. It comes as a bit of a surprise to me that Jesus doesn't have more pressing things to do. But Jesus doesn't seem like he's just biding his time, waiting for it to end, so that he can get on and do the more important stuff. It's almost like Jesus senses the importance of this moment. It's almost like Jesus is enjoying the laughter and the celebration, that Jesus doesn't want it to have to end. If this is true, and I really believe it is, then it changes the way that we think about how God would relate to us. You see, I grew up believing that God was pleased with me when I prayed, and when I read my Bible, and when I went to church. And I'm sure that that's true. But if Jesus took the time to go to a wedding, does that mean that God delights in it when I have a snowball fight with my kids? That God delights in it when I make somebody laugh? That God delights in all those little moments where I never stop to consider that God would even care? Does God enjoy the sound of my laughter, the sound of your laughter, as much as I enjoy the laughter of my own children? Is my laughter infectious to God? I can honestly say I have never once in my life imagined God doubled over in laughter. Maybe this changes things for me. Because I don't know if I've ever given much thought to the idea that God cares all that much about fun. I've never imagined that God cared about snowball fights and basketball games and first kisses. Those are fun. I never considered that God would care to be present in the mundane, in the day-to-day. I always thought that to find God, I had to bend my knee and pull out my Bible. But if God has a heart for fun, then that means not only was God present at some of my favorite moments, the birth of my children, my wedding, my graduation, my ordination. Not only was God present, not only was God here, but God enjoyed them as much as I did. It means that the God who met us in our humanity in the incarnation of Jesus continues to meet us in our humanness. God isn't disappointed by our engagement in frivolity or fun. It isn't beneath God. It isn't even unimportant to God. God delights in our laughter and our celebration. And I didn't write this on the page, but I have to ask, why is it? Why is it that the world thinks that faith is so boring? Is it because God's boring? Is it because God doesn't want to engage in fun? Sure doesn't seem that way. More than likely, it's because of the way that we portray God to the world. So maybe it's important for us, as we stop to consider who God is and what God means to us, to think about a God that would go to a wedding party. About a God that would make wine, lots of it, and would stick it out all the way to the end. See, sometimes we forget that the Christ attended a wedding feast, engaged in revelry, made wine, and said yes to gladness and joy. Sometimes we forget to invite God to the party. To invite God to the party in our own lives, because we think of God only as someone who would be here in times of holiness or sorrow. But God loves the sound of your laughter. God loves when you celebrate. So invite God to the party. It can only mean good things for the supply of wine. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.